We just heard from journalist Glenn Greenwald, who's facing charges in Brazil for his role in exposing government corruption by publishing hacked text messages. Greenwald's experience in Brazil is far from unique. All over the world, journalists face dangers from hostile governments. And as civil unrest and protests have grown in places like Hong Kong, Chile, and Lebanon, governments have cracked down on reporters as well as protesters. For more on this, I'm joined by Courtney Raj, Advocacy Director at the Committee to Protect Journalists. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Courtney, we just heard from Glenn Greenwald about being targeted by the Bolsonaro government in Brazil. Before we get into the questions about press freedom, what do you make of the Brazilian government's case against him?
Well, we're definitely deeply concerned about the fact that charges have been brought against Glenn Greenwald essentially for doing journalism. And we've called on the government to refrain from prosecuting him and other journalists for communicating with their sources. This is a really disturbing charge that essentially seeks to criminalize journalistic activity.
In his defense, Greenwald says he didn't cross a line into actually instructing his source. Is that clear to you as well?
Well, I mean, I think it's clear to many, given that the Supreme Court has already determined that Greenwald should not be investigated or prosecuted for his journalistic work. And so the charges should obviously be dropped.
Is this gray area of actually directing sources something we've seen other journalists get into legal trouble for?
Well, it looks very similar to what the charges against Julian Assange are under the Espionage Act, with the U.S. prosecutors essentially trying to make the case that the communication and the way that Assange communicated with his sources amounts to something that is not journalistic and that he was participating in hacks or leaks. And I think it's very similar to what Greenwald is facing in Brazil. And so, you know, it's very problematic if we're going to see governments, especially democratic governments, seek to make routine journalistic work and equate that with espionage or terrorism or other, you know, trumped up charges.
Under the Bolsonaro government, have attacks on journalists in the country increased?
So the Bolsonaro government has presided over some pretty serious rhetorical attacks on journalists. However, Brazil has never been a very safe place to be a journalist. It is one of the countries where journalists have been killed for their work over the past several years. And journalists are murdered with impunity. So it is a dangerous country. What has worsened under Bolsonaro are the outright attacks and vilification of journalists, of the media, attempts to denigrate the role of journalism in the country, online harassment and trolling of journalists and that sort of thing. And of course, then the use of fake news as a way to pillory and delegitimize journalism.
If we look at other countries where press freedoms are under attack, how is social media being used as a tool for targeting journalists?
So social media has become a really challenging tool, I think, for journalists. On the one hand, you know, it's incredibly powerful for them to do reporting and get their material out via social media. On the other hand, we've seen that leaders around the world in both authoritarian and democratic governments are using social media to bypass journalism. And they're also using social media platforms to undermine journalism, to drown out independent and critical reporting through, for example, troll armies or manipulation of social media platforms and the algorithms of visibility. We've also seen that social media is used to conduct online harassment campaigns of journalists. We've seen this around the world, from President Duterte in the Philippines to Maltese officials, before journalists Daphne Caruana Galizia was murdered there. We saw it with President Bolsonaro, where, you know, there are journalists working in Brazil who have had to have police protection, armed bodyguards, because of the threats that have emanated after being singled out by the president. And we've seen that here in the United States as well, where, you know, journalists face increased threats and feel, you know, that they are under greater attacks when they come into the crosshairs of, you know, either the president or another politician's social media.
Given all these examples you just laid out of where it's getting to be more difficult to be a journalist, are there countries that are bucking that trend and making it, creating a more enabling press climate?
I wish I could say that there were bright spots. I think that, you know, Scandinavia, which is typically a bastion of press freedom, continues to be so. But even in, for example, Finland, we saw that a Russian trolling campaign against a journalist there was one of the few cases where we've actually seen a legal remedy to that sort of online harassment. And that obviously was not emanating from the politicians there. We saw a brief improvement in Ethiopia, which for the first time in many years, the prior year, did not have any journalists in jail following a political transition. But I think we're worried about what is actually happening in Ethiopia now and whether or not those initial improvements are actually going to be codified in law. So, you know, we're really not seeing a lot of improvement around the world. What we're seeing is that leaders are learning from each other's playbook and that there really is a playbook of how to use social media, you know, the fake news epitaph, and use that to delegitimize journalists and undermine critical reporting so that ideally no one will either see it in their news feeds or believe it if they do.
So what's the role of social media companies in this context? Is intimidation something they can curtail or prevent?
Well, the companies do have a role in this, especially in countries where the legal system is not going to provide any sort of remedy. So obviously in countries like the Philippines or in Brazil, where you have political leaders at the forefront of some of this type of online harassment, you know, it's unlikely that you're going to see legal remedies. So we need the platforms to do something. And I think that there is much more that they can do. And we regularly raise cases to the platforms to try to get them to address these on an individual basis. But there are also things that they need to be doing proactively, realizing that there is a link between disinformation campaigns, online harassment, and especially during times of protest or during elections. I think that the design of the platforms in some cases, you know, facilitates this sort of activity, the extremism, the algorithms that favor engagement. And despite many of the platforms prohibiting what they call inauthentic coordinated behavior, nonetheless, we see, you know, firms, PR firms, for example, advertising on these platforms services that are aimed at manipulating these social media platforms, visibility, likes, you know, fake followers, etc. So there is more that they can do, and they must do more, especially during elections.
I've been speaking with Courtney Raj, Advocacy Director at the Committee to Protect Journalists. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much. My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.